Let me just set this to record. Very good. Yes. So again, this is Brother Jackson. It's a pleasure to be with you. And it was wonderful hearing all the sharing from Brother Willard and the sharing from Brother Richard and Felix and everybody else and Cherie, who did the reading. Started off with the scripture. Thank you very much. And there'll be plenty more time to share after this. So last Sabbath, we were in the epistle of Yohanan, the epistle of John, chapter 5, and we covered verses 12 to 15. And today, hopefully, by the eternal mercy, we'll be able to conclude from verses 16 to verses 20. And let me quickly say, once I'm done with this, and hopefully our brother Richard, by the eternal mercy, will be able to do some sharing with us for the upcoming Sabbaths. Okay? So I'm looking forward to hearing some of the wonderful things he has to share from some of the ancient texts. Like, he introduced me to a text called I believe it's called the Apostolic Constitution. One wonderful things, the Book of Gad, the Seer. So I'm sure, let's keep him in prayer so that Elohim will direct him into what's most beneficial for us to learn, because there's so much. So let me just say a quick prayer for guidance, so I can be very effective in how I present and conclude a first epistle of John, chapter 5. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for your goodness and your mercies by your Son, Yeshua, and your Spirit. I thank you for everything that was done. Thank you that we could all be here by your love, love for you, and love for each other to edify and strengthen each other in doing what is good and right in your sight. In this Sabbath day, I ask you for to please help me to be concise and direct, to say exactly what you want me to say as I conclude chapter 5. Guide me and guide the understanding of all who are on the line, so they may understand, and if they have anything to add as well. Thank you very much, dear Father in heaven, by your mercies in Yeshua and your Holy Spirit. I thank you. Amen. Okay, so last Sabbath, as I said, we did up to verse 15. And verse 15 of Yochanan, first epistle of Yochanan, chapter 5, verse 15 says, "And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him." And as it says in verse 14, this is the confidence. This is how we know. Okay, so this is why I've said before, it is important that we really get to know Elohim, that we really get to know his son, Yeshua, and really have his interaction by his spirit. Okay, it's very important. It's not enough for us to just read the Bible, the scriptures. It's not enough. It really isn't. We need to have this relationship with him where we can have this confidence. That remember, David said in a psalm somewhere, he says, "I love the eternal because he hears my prayer. I love the eternal because he hears my prayer." He's not just loving Elohim because of what he's read in the scriptures. He loves Elohim because of the living relationship, the actual relationship, the ship that he has with the eternal. You know, I always say the relationship, a lot of people have a one-sided relationship with Elohim and don't expect where to expect to hear from. And we have to expect to have a dialogue of life with Elohim. It's so important. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. We have to develop that faith, dear brethren. Let me read a portion in Matthew chapter 5, where Messiah says, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, I believe. Let me turn there. I'll read it in your hearing. You could turn there if you want to, or if not, I'll read it in your hearing. Matthew chapter 7, it's a wonderful, all of this, like, it's beautiful, but Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. Verse 8, because for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Thank you, whoever joined us. We're welcome. Happy Sabbath. We're in continuing in John chapter 5, first epistle of John chapter 5, and right now we're reading a reference in Matthew chapter 7, and I'm at verse 9. It says, verse 9, or which one of you, if his son ask him for bread, will give him a stone? Verse 10, or if he ask for a fish, will give him a serpent? Verse 11, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, Shamayim, give good things to those who ask him? So you see the confidence we must have. And also he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Verse 32, for the nations, the Gentiles, seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Verse 33, but seek first the Malkut of Elohim, the kingdom of Elohim, and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Do you see the confidence, the new covenant we must have through Yeshua? See, he talks about what we shall eat, what we shall drink, what we shall wear, and that the Gentiles seek it. But he says he knows we need these things. He's not, see, the problem is with the Gentiles who don't know him. They don't know to ask him. They don't have faith. But we are to have faith and know that our food, our shelter, our clothing, he will provide. He knows. What does he ask us to do? In faith, seek his kingdom first. Remember, praise the eternal we were reading in Psalms 148. Right? So let's go back to the first letter of John, chapter 5. So again, verse 14, this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. This is the confidence. This is how we know he is with us. This is the confidence. That's what John is saying. Because if we're crying out to him, crying out, and we don't hear back, then we know there's something wrong with the relationship. We have to really look at scripture to know how to know. Me, I panic when I don't hear from Elohim, to be very honest with you. Because I'm used to him answering my prayers. I am. And when he doesn't answer my prayer, I almost have to, I always go on panic. It's just like he says, he hides his face or his hands, and every creature who's depending on him starts worrying. See, the creatures know. So we have to have that level of relation. Now, we shouldn't worry, really, because that's my fault. I got to learn to not worry and trust in him more. But I'm used to him answering my prayers. And when he doesn't answer my prayer, I start worrying. But he always comes through. So I thank him for that. So that's how we gauge our relationship. When you pray, what happens? Do you see him answering your prayer? Or does it go on and on and on and never gets answered? If your prayer doesn't get answered, there's a problem. And we need to fix that problem. Okay? So let's move on to verse 16 to the end. And to fix that problem is to put him first. That's what he is. As he says, I am a great king, he says. And so we can't put him in the back as second to anything, to anyone. He must be first. And when we do that with all our hearts and all our souls, then we know our relationship is right with him. And then we know whatever we ask, we receive. Okay. So verse 16. If anyone sees his brother commit a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and Elohim will give him life. Not maybe, but will give him life, if it's not a sin unto death. We can just look at the Torah and know the sins unto to death. Look, if the punishment required death, that's a sin unto death. That's a basic understanding. Some sins were not. Like if you broke the Sabbath, if you committed murder, if you curse father or mother, if you curse Elohim, all these things were sins unto death. But if you stole, it was not a sin unto death. You would just need to repent and restore it, I think, 4 or 5-fold. I don't remember the exact amount, but you could go to the Torah and see what it says. So that's a basic understanding. There may be more to it. But see, we don't need to know every single detail. Sometimes it's good enough to know the basic principles. Now, we know the wages of sin is death. That's two different things. The wages of sin, or that is the outcome of sin, is death. No matter what sin it is, it causes death. But there is a sin unto death. That means the punishment. What is in Elohim's sight? What will Elohim do about that sin? What does Elohim say that sin deserves? So that's where there's a sin unto death and a sin not unto death. But all sin, the wages of all sin, in other words, what sin does, not it's when Paul says the wages of sin is death and the gift of Elohim is everlasting life, he is not talking about Elohim's judgments concerning sin. He is talking about what sin does. And that's why Elohim hates sin, because all sin leads to death. All sin leads to death. So those are the wages, or the facetiously the benefits or the of sin, so to say. What sin will give you in the long run, short run, long run, is death. That's what. But here, it's not talking about the wages of sin. It's talking about the judgments of Elohim. There are some sins that if you commit, he will decide you deserve death. And there are some sins that don't deserve death. So that's where this is talking. So let's move on. As it says, we will ask him. And you see this also in Jacob chapter 5, James chapter 5, where it says, if anyone commits a sin, the sin will be forgiven him. That a person who is sick must call for the elders and the prayer of faith. What is that faith? Knowing that whatever you ask, having that confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked him. So when we pray like that, knowing, I know we know our Elohim, where you have that level of confidence that you're sure that you know you have your request because you've asked the Elohim who alone is good. When we could have that mindset, then we know for sure we're going to get it. So when we pray to him concerning anyone's sin, that is not a sin unto death, what shall we do? We should ask, give him life. Remember, why should you ask him if it's not unto death? Because all sins will cause death. So give him life. Right? To those who commit sins that do not lead to death. Then he goes and says, there is sin that leads to death. Those are the sins that the judgment of Elohim says are worthy of death. Sabbath breaking, idolatry, all sorts of those things, murder, if you name it, or if we go on and on, all those sins leads to death. You do not pray for those sins. If someone has committed murder, you don't ask for forgiveness for that. That's what it says. There is a sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. So we have to learn what to pray for. This is what it means to pray according to his will. All this is new covenant writing. And it's telling us how the new covenant works. And this is why we have to be careful not to be deceived by the enemy, whether by ignorance or our own ideas, thinking that Elohim is going to do something he said he's not going to do. He's not going to answer our prayers if we pray for a sin unto death. I don't know what he will do for the person who committed that sin. Maybe that person who committed that sin can ask for forgiveness. Yes. Yes. But intercessory prayer, it's not something we can intercede for. He says no. Because if we go about trying to make we will lose, we can damage our faith, because we will spend days, hours, days, weeks, maybe months or years praying for something he's not going to do. And then we'll start worrying, where is Elohim? Why is he not answering my prayer? Because he says so in his covenant. The apostle John tells us there is a sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is a sin that does not lead to death. So the only sins we could pray for in terms of interceding for someone else are the prayers that don't lead to death. In other words, asking them for life and for forgiveness. Of course, we could pray to ask them, to ask that they might repent. Yes, but this is very specific. He says, he shall ask and Elohim will give him life. This is a matter of praying for, asking for forgiveness for that person. We cannot. If somebody commits murder, you cannot pray for Elohim to forgive that person. It's not going to work. Okay? Because he took someone's life and Elohim does not change. And his law says, if you do that, you deserve death. Now, I don't say that this death means everlasting death, because we see Paul writes somewhere concerning a sin that someone was doing that even the Gentiles don't do. And he says that you should cast them out and deliver him to Hasatan so that, one, his flesh will be destroyed, but he will be saved. So going back to ancient Israel, we see a lot of people being killed on account of their sins. It doesn't mean that death is everlasting death. That's their punishment. Their physical life has ended. If you break the laws of physical life, if you break the covenant of physical life, then your physical life will end. But it doesn't mean those people were actually condemned forever and ever. Not necessarily. Some probably were, depending on what sin it was. But understand, the punishment is death. It's talking about physical death. So verse 17, all wrongdoing is sin, but there is a sin that does not lead to death. Verse 18, we know that everyone who has been born of Elohim does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of Elohim protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. Now this is an interesting thing, and I didn't catch this before. As I looked at different translations, I came to see that. Can I see your scripture for a second? And I'll explain what I'm saying. Verse 18, I'll read it from the King James Version here. We know that whoever is born of Elohim does not keep sinning, but he who has been born of Elohim keeps himself. I've seen the where translations connect this really with Messiah. And at first, when I read this in my Revised English Standard, I didn't get it, but I could see it. It says, but he who was born, notice not is, who was born protects him. Can we protect ourselves? Think about it, protects him. It's two different people here. There's one protecting someone else. Yeah. Can you read yours for us, Felix, nice and loud?
Yes, according to that. Okay.
Verse 18,
it says, we know that whosoever is born of Elohim sins not, okay? But he that was begotten, that is begotten of Elohim, keeps himself, and that wicked one touches him not.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, so that's the version, but it's really Messiah that it's referring to here. That it's not us, we're not protecting ourselves, but it's Messiah who is protecting us, and the evil one does not touch him. So that's what that, so you can look that over, but other translations makes it, he who was begotten of Elohim protects him.
Yes.
And the evil one does not touch him. Remember what Yeshua says? My Father has given them to me, and I've kept them all. And elsewhere he speaks of Elohim. He says he has given them to me. No one can take them out of his hands, right? But they are in him, in Messiah. So verse 19, we know that we are from Elohim, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. So we know that we are from Elohim, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. See, we mustn't be boastful, but we have to know who we are. There's something I used to, let's not have false humility. See, some like man-made false humility can disrupt our faith, disrupt our walk. We should not boast ourselves in our own strength concerning who we are, as if we are from Elohim by our own goodness. But we have to acknowledge the work that Elohim has done in our lives. The scripture shows. So if you see you have a love for Elohim, and I'm serious, we have to judge ourselves. Like I said, I literally judge myself daily. I do. I can't afford to mess up my life or have negative influence on others. So I have to judge myself. So I have to look at how I walk. Do I measure up to what the scriptures say? So when you see in your life that you're measuring up, that you really love, that's the basic thing. It's not, do I keep the Sabbath? There are many people who keep the Sabbath and don't love Elohim. There are many people who keep the high holy days and don't love Elohim. As a matter of fact, Yeshua was victimized by many of those, because all of those people knew the name, knew how to pronounce it. Many of them were keeping the Sabbath, but they did not love Elohim. Those are not the measure. It's why we do those things. Why? I keep the Sabbath because I love Elohim. And I love people. That's a work he's done in my life. I see a lot of people get caught up in quote unquote Jewish things or even Torah things. It's almost an idolatrous relationship they have with things Hebraic and Torah and so on. We have to be careful that we're not deceived by the very things that we're trying to do. Even because Satan is clever, or I should say crafty. Remember the serpent. I might have mentioned this a few times. When the people were complaining against Elohim about the food, he sent fiery serpents again to afflict them and even kill many of them. But then what did he order? He ordered Moses, make a copy of that serpent, and whoever looks to the serpent in faith, they will be healed. But that, who gave the order to make that serpent? Elohim did. And that image was there for, I don't know how long, I would say years. But then eventually the people started to do what? Worship it. And then so Elohim commanded to destroy it. So sometimes people can take the things of Elohim and make them and have an idolatrous approach to it. We must not have an idolatrous approach to it. We must have a living approach, and that's done by the Spirit of Elohim. We must love Elohim, and we must love people. That's key. If that is there in your life, then you know you are from Elohim. And not because of you, not because of our righteousness, but because Elohim has blessed you, blessed us, and done that work in our hearts. Give him praise. So we know that we are from Elohim. We should not be ashamed to say that, but we must say it with humility and in such a way that will encourage others to love Elohim, not to glorify ourselves in any shape or form. And the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. We must communicate that. Again, not to destroy people and make them feel bad, but to let them know why they're suffering the way they are, why they don't hear from Elohim, but that they too can hear from Elohim. If they establish a relationship, they will no longer be in the world, but they will be of Elohim and in Elohim. So we need to communicate these things, but all things in love, in a way that will edify and help people transfer from the kingdom of Satan into Elohim's marvelous light, into his kingdom. Verse 20. And we know that the Son of Elohim has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Yeshua the Messiah. You see? How can we know him by just studying the Torah? And I'm saying, understand. We can't. Because our own understanding of what the text, even if we knew perfect Hebrew, even if we knew perfect Hebrew, we could not understand the Torah. We could understand some aspects of it, but not grasp. I'm just saying, it's just true. That's why Yeshua needed to come. And we know that the Son of Elohim has come and has given us understanding. He says, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant, I forgot what it says in Isaiah, I believe, sanctify many. What does it say? Is that what it says? Sanctify. By his knowledge. Remember, dear brethren, there were many quote-unquote rabbis in the time of Yeshua and before him, leading to the time. And they all had different opinions. They all knew Hebrew perfectly. And the Hebrew was a closer to the true Hebrew than the Hebrew we have today. Because the Hebrew word we have today is a revived language. It's not really, we have to be aware that it's not even the original. And that's why you see so many different opinions about what this word means and what that words mean. Right? But Yeshua came so that we can have that understanding. We cannot do what the angel, what those who are not connected with, who call themselves teachers on earth, taught, nor try to approach his word the same way. A lot of the stuff that people are trying to do, even Protestants, even quote unquote those who are the traditional Christian church, they're applying the old teacher rabbinic method of trying to understand scripture. It doesn't work. If you do that enough, you will eventually abandon Yeshua, as many have done. Because they're taking it from a rabbinic, you're just trying to understand the words. No, you need Yeshua. That's why it says, and we know that the Son of Elohim has come and has given us understanding. If you could know it by reading the Torah, why would he need to do that? Because we have limited understanding of it. So that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Yeshua, Messiah. And that's why all who confide in the rabbinic tradition, they will err. This is why Yeshua says the blind leading the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, they will both fall into a ditch. And I've seen that happen a lot, unfortunately. So let's end. He is the true Elohim and eternal life. Verse 21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Now, some people will take this and say that he is the true Elohim as if he's speaking of Yeshua. No. We have to remember what John said, the testimony of what Yeshua said. He says, as Yeshua is praying, this is eternal life, that you may know the Father who is the true Elohim, and Yeshua whom he has sent. So when it's referring to, when it says he is the true Elohim and eternal life, he is talking, he's going back to verse 19, where it says, and we know that we are from Elohim, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And verse 20 says, and. So it's a continuation from verse 19. So he is the true Elohim. The true Elohim is the Father. And eternal life. And we know eternal life is in his Son. And the final admonition to end from verse 20. It seems so simple, but very, very powerful, and we need to let that light shine in all of us. So he concludes, after all he said from chapter 1 to chapter 5, he concludes this, having said, he never mentioned really the word idol, but all of a sudden he mentioned verse 21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. What's the point? How does that connect? How does that connect? Because he's talking from verse 1. Let me turn to chapter 1 quickly, because I'm ending with this. Let me turn to chapter 1. Chapter 1 of the Epistle of John says, that which was from the big beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life. That's why he's ending like this. He started about testifying about the true life and the eternal life. And that life is in Yeshua, is in the Father, in his Son, Yeshua, the true, and all other things are idols. So that's why he says, keep yourselves from idols. Discern what is true. Discern what is false. Discern what is clean. Discern what is unclean. Discern what is Elohim. Discern what is not Elohim. Elohim is living. His Son is living. The Son of Elohim is living. And is not an idol. So discern all the idols, all the things that do not gender to life, not just the little elilim, the little images, but also the idol things of life, things that do not profit. Whatever does not profit is idle, is useless. So we must focus on the things that are useful. And all these things are of Elohim. And having a relationship, a proper relationship in Elohim through his Son Yeshua is most profitable. So ending with verse 21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. So thank you, dear brethren, for listening to this teaching, this sharing. If you have any comments, any observations you want to share, I will stop the recording now and let you share. Thank you very much, dear brethren.